I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. My guests today are from Athens Interfaith Hospitality Network, as well as the national umbrella organization, Family Promise. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. I'm joined by Davin Welter, Executive Director of the Interfaith Hospitality Network, and Klaus Ehlers, Chief Executive Officer of the national organization Family Promise. The nonprofit coalition addresses the issue of family homelessness. Klaus, we'll start with you.
Obviously, it's a tremendous problem everywhere. What does your organization do to try to combat the problem?
So we're the leading national organization addressing family homelessness. And what we do is, first and foremost, is we provide services for families experiencing homelessness by creating a community-based solution, engaging the existing resources in the community, both the physical resources and the volunteers, to take care of that immediate need. But what's really important is out of that comes the ability to both prevent and stabilize. So once you get volunteers involved, and in a typical affiliate, you'll have about 1,000 volunteers involved in some way or other, we're able to add more and more programming and do things that prevent families from becoming homeless in the first place, and helping them develop the skills and the assets that ensure that not only do they get into housing, but they get into housing that they can keep. And we do a wide range of stabilization programs.
I read a little bit about your background and that you know firsthand the importance of children and families having stability in homes. What kind of a difference do you think that makes?
It's all about the future, right? The future of a child is dictated in large part by the resources they have when they're young and the obstacles that their families face. If we can get children and their families, again, not just housed, but sustainably housed, we open up a lot more opportunity for that child for the future. Home is not just a physical building. Home is a much broader concept. Home is where a child does homework. It's where a parent gets ready for work. It's where nutritious meals are made, all of those things. If a child does not have home, it's not simply not having shelter. It's having all of those things deprived from them. And we want our children to succeed. We want to make sure that we can give them every access that they can have so that they can have the future that they deserve.
I imagine the upheaval impacts that child and their families in numerous ways.
Absolutely. People don't plan to become homeless. So by the time they're experiencing homelessness, they've typically used up all of the resources and connections that they have. So it's really important that we're able to create a very normative experience for the families when they're in the program, a really home-like experience, the sense of community.
And Davin, I want to ask you, how else can people help or donate?
You can always go to our website, which is www.ihnathens.org. You know, of course, writing a check, making a donation is always helpful, but there are other ways. So giving of your time is another way to be helpful, whether it's through one of our congregations or whether it's somebody who wants to just come into the office and work as an office volunteer to answer the phone or to greet folks as they walk in the door. We're actually going to start a program with United Way, the 211 program, where obviously if you are going to call 211 to try to get services within this community, you've got to have a phone. Well, not everybody has a phone. So we're actually going to have a dedicated line at our day center that folks can walk in and use that phone to then call United Way to try to get resources. So having volunteers who are greeting those guests as they come in the door is another way. Donating basic household goods. So most of our families, when they leave us, do not have furniture. They don't have dishes. They don't have sheets. They don't have towels. I went through my linen closet the other day, and about half of it, you know, I've never used or don't use. And so we all have these resources that just sit in our houses that could be used by someone and also allow us to kind of free ourselves up by getting rid of some of that stuff. So that's another way to give as well. And even just, you know, following up, you know, following us on Facebook or on our website, you know, and sharing the work that we're doing with others is another way to do it. We're always looking for new congregations. So even though we've got 37 of them, we invite new congregations to join us in the work that we're doing. So there's a number of ways that folks can get involved.
And what's asked of a congregation if they decide that this is something that they'd like to do.
Right. So what that entails is that most of our congregations take 4 weeks out of the year, normally once a quarter, and during that week they're providing all of the meals to our families, so breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They're providing a place to stay, so they're normally taking classrooms, Sunday school rooms, and turning those into bedrooms. We've got rollaway beds that move from congregation to congregation. And then it takes somewhere between 40 and 60 volunteers during the week to be with our families. So that's van drivers, that's evening host, that's overnight host, all of those roles. And we have most of our congregations, in fact, all of them at this point in time, all of our host congregations, all have congregations that are supporting them. So most congregations have somebody else, another congregation that's working with them to provide the volunteers and the meals.
So that's great that other congregations actually help the people who are
Absolutely.
Hosting.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to recognize, too, with the IHN program with Family Promise, is that while the core is congregations, everybody can volunteer. And I know here in Athens, you've got tremendous engagement from the University of Georgia, from other civic groups, from corporations. There isn't a person in this country that doesn't want to see children experiencing homelessness in homes. And everybody has a way that they can be involved.
And let me ask both of you this. This is a unique way to use buildings that usually get used maybe 1 or 2 days out of the week, and then they're empty. It's such a great way to use these buildings. It just seems like that it's a win-win.
It absolutely is a win-win. There's 6,000 congregations and other organizations involved throughout the country. And there isn't, if you open up anybody's scripture, it's going to say we have to serve those in need. We have to serve children and families in need. So there is a motivation for everybody to be involved. We're using space that's already out there. We're not spending money on creating shelters and other interventions. Instead, we're leveraging what the community has to provide both a temporary solution for the families while they're experiencing homelessness and that long-term solution so that they can regain their sustainable independence.
I don't know if you need to add anything.
Absolutely. The only thing I would add then, too, is we're also building community with that, you know, because it is bringing together different faiths. Even within the same faith tradition, there are many differences. And so it's bringing all of those folks together that help them build community, and which makes our community stronger.
And what would you say then the impact has been? Do you have some numbers? I mean, how many people can you help a year, that sort of thing, both nationally and locally? I'll go with you locally first.
Sure. So 2017, we served 40 individuals. That was 13 families that we served. And that number seems small, but to me, the quality and the depth 100% of our families had employment when they left us, and 80% of them were housed into permanent housing. We had two families that actually moved back in with families, and that is not considered permanent sustainable housing, but they were able to move in with families. And we are working to make our numbers even higher. So one thing that we have done is we had been closing for part of the year. This year, we're going to be open all year round. And we're also looking at trying to strengthen our extended network, which is when our families move into permanent housing, and providing them with services that provide them with a stronger foundation.
I don't think 13 is a low number.
Okay.
Ask those 13 families.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You made all the difference for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Alexia, I would add to that, too, for Davin, is that they're also, though, they're working with a lot of families who are at risk of homelessness and helping prevent that from happening. They're working with a lot of families that have graduated from the program. They're working with a lot of other families in the community in need. And, of course, they're working with all of the volunteers as well. So, yes, the families served directly in the program is a certain number because we can only serve so many at one time. But there's these other ways that we're addressing needs in the community that are very, very effective.
Oh, that's good, too. That's always nice to know. And nationally, do you have any idea?
Mm-hmm. We do. So nationally, last year, we served 67,000 people in our 207 affiliates across the country, both in shelter services, but also in prevention and stabilization programming. And 60% of the people that we serve are children. You know, and I think this is a really important point, too. You look at the state of Georgia, 1 out of 21 children in the state of Georgia will experience homelessness at some point over the course of the year. And I believe in Athens-Clarke County, it's an even higher number. Nationally, the average is 1 out of 30 children. People don't understand the real extent of this issue. They don't understand the crisis that we're facing. And you talked about it before. The long-term implications of not addressing family homelessness are really dire, obviously for the children and their families, but for society overall.
What do each of you hope to see in the future with the organization?
So, as I said, we're the leading national organization addressing the issue of family homelessness, and we're mobilizing the community. We have 180,000 volunteers nationally. That's great. But we know we can do a lot more. And our aspiration is we've served 800,000 people since we first started the program in the mid-1980s. But in the next 10 years, I am hoping that we can actually change the future for 1 million children.
Wow.
By preventing homelessness, by serving them when they're experiencing homelessness, and by stabilizing them after they've experienced homelessness.
I like that goal. Yeah.
It's a great goal.
Yeah.
And we also are very focused on trying to increase our impact within this community. Of course, as you know, homelessness is a significant issue in Athens-Clarke County. During the 16-17 school year, Katie Wheeler at the school district, our homeless liaison, identified over 700 children who were homeless. And so we want to have a greater impact on that. And so one of the ways that we're going to do that is, one, we're going to be trying to serve more families throughout the year. We're going to try to deepen our relationship with them after they leave our program and continue our relationship with them to help them build a stronger foundation. And the other thing I will say, too, is that there's some real collaboration that's going on within the community. So not only with congregations, but with other nonprofits, with the university, with the Athens-Clarke County government. And there's some real work being done right now to try to make an impact and to move the needle, not only on homelessness, but also on poverty in general. So I'm hopeful that, you know, we can't wave a magic wand, but I'm hopeful that sometime in the near future we can begin the process of actually moving that needle with homelessness and poverty in Athens.
Right. Wow.
And Alexia, I'm going to just add another comment to that, which is what's really important about our model, and our model has its challenges like every model has challenges, but that engagement of volunteers, that keeps costs down for the program overall. It creates a lot of opportunities because people have connections to employment, housing, childcare, transportation, you name it, but it also raises awareness. Our 1,000 volunteers here in Athens-Clarke County, it's probably more than 1,000 volunteers that Davin has, they are now advocates for low-income children and their families. They cared, but they didn't know how they could do something about it. So they came in, they made a lasagna, they played Uno, they spent the night, and that's great. But they walk out of there saying, well, hold on a second. These families don't have proper access to transportation, and that's limiting their job choices. The children, they can't get childcare. That prevents the children from getting that intervention they need early on. They don't have as much health services as they can use. It's really difficult to find affordable housing here. They may have a past eviction, and that's working against them. We can do things as a community to address all of those, and creating that awareness is one of our major goals.
We were discussing earlier that there are so many truly valuable nonprofits in Athens around the nation. Why would you suggest people give here to Family Promise or Interfaith Hospitality Network?
Obviously, people need to give where their heart tells them to give. I think that one of the reasons why people really love supporting Family Promise and Family Promise affiliates is that, first of all, we have a tremendous success rate. Our national success rate is 74% of families go into permanent housing, 14% go into shared housing. It's a really high rate. We also have a relatively short length of stay in shelter, which is really important. The national average, again, is 64 days, and it's going to vary from community to community for a lot of different reasons. So it's a very effective program. But I think people also, what really draws them to this is, one thing is that we are doing what typically would cost three times as much in another setup, because we don't have building costs because we're utilizing those congregational spaces. We don't have extensive staff because we're utilizing volunteers. We don't have costs for meals. We have almost everything donated. And just, you know, an example of sort of how this kind of all triggers, you may have, let's say, a dentist that volunteers at his or her congregation and makes a meal. And they meet the families and they say, oh my goodness, these families could use some dental work. Let me provide some free dental work. That's great. So that's a great thing right in and of itself. But that's not just about healthcare, because a couple things happen. By providing that dental work for the families, for one thing, it obviously helps with self-esteem and self-image, particularly for people who have had a really rough go of life. But think about this too. The jobs that people are seeking, they're working in retail. And they're missing teeth. Do they work in the front or the back?
Right.
They work in the back. Where do you make more money? Where are your opportunities for advancement?
Commission, working on the floor.
Right, right. And so a simple act like that dentist providing a meal, then getting connected, snowballs to real economic empowerment for that family, really changing the future for that family. And it is that kind of mixture of substantive results, these great statistics, but also that just interpersonal piece that I think really compels people to support Family Promise and the IHN program.
Just little things that you might not think about make such an impact. And Davin, locally, what kind of difference are you making so that people know this is worthy of giving?
Right.
To?
And I would say, you know, it's interesting. We all know in Athens that there are a tremendous number of nonprofits here. And some people actually may grouse about that. But I want to say that, you know, really there's tremendous need in this community. And so that's the reason why there are a tremendous number of nonprofits here in town. So as Klaus said, you know, certainly you need to give where your heart calls you to give. With Interfaith Hospitality Network, we are very cost effective. So we have 2.5 employees. So we have two full-time employees and then a half-time employee. Over 1,000 volunteers volunteer with us to provide the majority of the work that's done with the organization that's all donated. We have a day center that's downtown that is owned by First Baptist Church, and they rent it to us at a very discounted rate. So not very much there as far as office space, but the day center also works as a place where our families can gather on the weekends during the day, and the parents can use it as a home base. So we've got computers that are there, there are showers that are there, there are laundry facilities that are there. All of those activities take place at the day center.
How important is that day center, Davin, to have some place to go?
It's critical, you know, because the other thing is our families are within the congregations normally starting around 5, 6 o'clock in the evening, and then they leave sometime between 6 and 7 in the morning. And so during the day, that gives them a place that they can call home. So there's an address that's involved, a permanent address while they're with us. And even, you know, even once they leave us, then we are then able to forward that mail to their new current address. It's also important because it's a place where our families, we've been very fortunate. Our families get along tremendously well. The friendships that are formed by the families that are within the program has been one of the things that's really surprised me. And they act as mentors for each other. They act as support for each other. So not only are you getting support from our volunteers, but you're also getting support from the other families as well. And families that have been through our program, too, have interaction. So,
and let me ask both of you why you do this, why you put your time and effort into making this program successful. And we'll start with you first, Klaus.
Sure. And, you know, I'll actually take a lead off of something that Davin said. You know, the families, when they come into our programs, that is one of the bravest things a person could ever do, right? To lay open your life, to sacrifice so much that you and your children can have security and safety. So I am constantly amazed and impressed by the families that we serve. And there's amazing stories of their journeys. You know, we have a number of our affiliates where the director is a former guest, where board members are former guests of our program. We had a situation in one place where the county commissioner for education, the county commissioner for transportation had been in the program and helped broker an arrangement where the county buses would provide on-demand service for the family. So, you know, it's incredible what they accomplish. And then the other side of it is those volunteers. I mean, these are people who give so much of themselves who devote their time, their energy, because they believe that children deserve the futures that they can have. And it is inspiring. You know, it's challenging. When you're working in social services, you see a lot of challenges. You see a lot of things that don't go like you hope they would go. You see a lot of sadness and despair. But we see so much hope, so much potential, so much possibility. And that's what keeps me going.
Davin?
You know, I would say it's, you know, that's a good question to ask. Why do you do this? You know, and I look back over my career, and I've been someone who's probably been vocationally challenged, I'd like to say. You know, I've had a wide range of jobs and done a lot of different things.
No, so. You just have a variety of interests.
That's right, a variety of interests. That's exactly right. You know, I started my career in Washington, D.C., and I actually worked for U.S. Senator Sam Nunn. And that was an interesting time because you would think that where can you enact the greatest change? I think people have the tendency to think that's Washington, D.C. I had a gentleman from that we were having dinner with when I was in D.C. who was from the Middle East, and he turned to me, and I was, you know, a young 21-year-old, and he said, you know, you live in the most powerful country in the world, and you are now currently in the most powerful city in the world. And so when you hear things like that, you think, well, okay, power, then power can turn into an acting change. And I did not find that to be the case. You know, it was interesting. The number of people that called us in Nunn's office, you know, from Georgia, and they'd call and they'd say, I can't pay my telephone bill or can't pay my power bill. You know, what do I do? You know, and you felt helpless because there was nothing that I could do in that office to help this person. All that power, and yet you couldn't do anything. Right. You know, I mean, not that I had much power as a peon.
You were in the seat of power,
right? Exactly. Sure. But you know, that was one of the lessons that I then learned. That really, if you want to make change, you've got to do that locally. And the older I get, the more I realize that change is one-on-one with people. And that it also takes a tremendous amount of time because you've got to build trust with people. And so I think the reason why I'm in this job is because of that, because I think this is a way that that you can make a difference by working with people one-on-one. And not only the other thing, too, is I believe passionately that our families are not the only people that receive in these situations. As a human being, we all have needs. Some of our needs are more obvious than others. And I think that our families have gifts to give our volunteers. And so it's a mutual relationship, in my opinion, that there's, you know, that there's giving that goes on both sides of that coin. The other thing I would say, the reason why I do this too, is because I believe that we're in a time in history where we need to come together, and we are split significantly in this country. And I believe that the American people, the people of Athens, there's a lot of good that's there, and we may be divided by, you know, by religions, by faith, by politics, by whatever the issue may be. But fundamentally, there are things that we can agree on. And so working with Interfaith Hospitality Network is one of those places where we can come together and we can serve together. And because of that, we can have unity. So.
And, that's a key point you make, because the whole point is so many different groups working together. You know, Klaus, I know you head the national agency. What would you say to people about the fact that I'm sure there's a diversity of congregations and people and volunteers who actually contribute to this organization?
Absolutely. And what we need to address family homelessness exists in every community. We have affiliates in major cities like Philadelphia, Houston, Los Angeles. We have affiliates in smaller cities like Athens or Lima, Ohio, or Lawrence, Kansas. We have affiliates in rural areas where there isn't a town of more than 5,000 people. Unfortunately, each one of those communities has a crisis of family homelessness. But each one of those communities has all of the ingredients to address it locally. And again, the more that we can address it locally and bring people into connection with the issue, the more that we can start thinking about what policies are helping to cause this homelessness in the first place and how do we change those.
And you are the second president of Family Promises.
That is correct.
That's pretty tremendous. Only one other person. And can you tell me a little bit about the history of the organization?
Sure thing. So Karen Olson is the founder of Family Promises. She is an absolutely amazing person. And she was here in Athens for an event. She was an executive with Warner Lambert, a marketing executive. And she was on her way to a meeting in New York City, walked by a woman, and on impulse bought that woman a sandwich. It was a woman who was clearly destitute. And when she handed the woman the sandwich, the woman grabbed a hold of her hand. And what Karen understood was it was not just about the physical needs. There was the need for community, the need for connection. So she started working with people experiencing homelessness in New York City. In 1985, she learned that the number one reason why the Division of Youth and Family Services in the state of New Jersey was placing children in foster care was not abuse and it was not neglect. It was simply because their mothers had become homeless.
That's horrible.
And you can't really fault the government because the government didn't know what to do.
Yeah. You know, you're not a bad parent.
Exactly.
Homelessness can happen to anybody.
Exactly. You know, one of our mantras is we do not want to separate families. You don't want to split up families. Families are strong when they are together. And that spurred the creation of the first program. She knew the faith community would have the answer. She gathered people together. They kind of thought about different things. They initially thought about creating a shelter. But the problem was that it was expensive. It was going to take a long time. It was going to institutionalize what was a temporary situation, and also where was it going to be located? When you go to nice leafy suburbs and you say, we'd like to put a shelter here for people experiencing homelessness.
You don't get the welcome mat.
You don't, you know, and that's universal. And that's how they came upon the idea of, wait a second, we have the space, it's in the congregations.
And you have the nice people. Spaces.
Exactly right.
Davin, what about locally here?
So our history is we are the 100th affiliate out of the 207 affiliates of Family Promise, and we were started in 2004. And it was a situation where congregations were looking at ways to address the need for homeless families, and they came together and started working. So Edward Boland, who's been on this program before, was one of our founding ministers, is still involved with us. And there are a number of folks that started in 2004. Patty Freeman Lynn was our first executive director, and she was the sole employee of the organization. And how in the world she did it by herself is beyond me. So my hat is off to her. But we started with 14 congregations that have grown now to 37.
Klaus, you mentioned earlier a really ambitious goal of reaching out to help 1 million people in the next several years. How on earth do you go about that?
The goal is that we want to change the future for 1 million children over the next 10 years. And it's a very ambitious goal. But first of all, I think it's an incredibly worthy goal. And in order to do that, yes, we need more congregations. We'll develop more affiliates. But what's really important is that we engage other sectors of society, too. And this is something that we've been doing. We are working on programming around financial capability, around workforce development, around housing readiness. Everybody can be involved with these people in congregations, but also beyond the congregations. And the more that we can get people engaged on this, the more people that can be working on preventing homelessness and stabilizing families, as well as serving them while they're experiencing homelessness, the more families that we can impact, the more children we can impact. And I believe right now we serve on average about 45,000 children a year nationally. So we're looking at doubling that number each year for the next 10 years. But I believe we can do that.
That's all we have time for today. My thanks to guests Davin Welter and Klaus Ehlers. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.